Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you all for coming out to hear about the great pizza controversy. And the goal of tonight's shiur is that I think this is going to be the last week of, let's call them the more boring topics, although I think the more boring topics are sometimes more interesting, but we'll probably be back to some more taboo topics come next week, or at least in the next couple of weeks. But what I wanted to speak about this evening is the notion of the simple question of what bracha do we make on pizza? It sounds very, very simple, but we're Jews, and so nothing could be that simple. And if we're going back to where we were holding last week, talking about the mikveh, the Rabbi Shaya Kalimnik Kelim mikveh, so we know that for Jews, when we build a mikveh, even though it's just a hole in the ground, we overcomplicate things a lot. And when it comes to making the bracha on pizza, it certainly is no different. There are no less than four or five different opinions as to what bracha a person should be making on pizza, and so at the end of the day, we're going to come down with a single conclusion, but it's worthwhile noting that there are multiple different perspectives out there on what to do. And the reason why I think that this is such an interesting conversation is not just because it's worthwhile knowing what bracha to make on pizza, but it's also because there are many different areas that are related to this topic, such that if you don't know or you do know what bracha to make on pizza, you will then know what bracha you should make on. Well, let's fill in the blank. What are some other things that might be relevant here? If, sorry?
Danish.
Okay, good. If I know a bracha to make on pizza, maybe I'll know a bracha to make on a Danish. What else? Okay, great. So the bracha achrona, right? So what's going to be the after blessing that we'll make on these different things? Good. But what other food items might be relevant here? Okay, good, right. So Anne correctly says that anything that is in this, let's call it the quasi-bread category, that it has an element of a bread in it, but we may not colloquially refer to it as bread. So there's a big question as to what bracha you make on it. So for example, let's say matzah. What bracha do we make on matzah? On a not on Pesach, but on a regular day of the year?
Depends who you are.
Okay,
depends
so...
you are.
Sorry?
Depends what you are.
Okay, right, so good. So Ashkenazim will all say that you should make a hamotzi on a piece of matzah, but Sfardim, very famously, usually make a mezonos on matzah, except for Pesach. On Pesach, they make hamotzi because that's the only bread item that they can partake of. Right, so some other possible questions as to what bracha you might make are things like a deli roll. Right, so usually people eat deli, right, people know what deli roll is? Deli, yeah, okay. But so usually people, when they're eating deli roll, that's... Okay, in case you don't know, it's just puff pastry with meat wrapped inside of it. And so when you are eating deli roll, usually you're in the context of your Shabbos meal. But let's say you have a little bit, right, that one or two pieces of deli roll that did not get eaten for some odd reason during the meal. So what bracha would you make on them if you want to have a little Motzei Shabbos snack? And what about pigs in a blanket? What bracha do you make on pigs in a blanket? People are afraid to answer now. Right, so this was a very big controversy this past Sukkot when we had our community-wide Simchas Beis HaShoeva, right? We had the big party on during Chol HaMoed, and one of the very wonderful Rabbanim in the community said, "I know, I'm going to get pigs in a blanket. We'll heat them up." He bought like 30 boxes of them at Costco and like defrosted them, and there was like more pigs in a blanket than you could ever imagine. And the question was, what bracha do you make on it? And so he and I got into a bit of a friendly squabble as to what the appropriate blessing should be. And so this is really all part of this larger conversation of what bracha do we make on pizza, because it's known as the sugya, as the topic of Pas Haba B'Kisnin. Our rabbis refer to every different food category in a different way, and most of them are pretty well known and understood. So for example, we know that in general, when it comes to making a bracha on a fruit, something that comes from a tree, you make the bracha of Barei Pri Ha'etz. And when it comes to making a bracha on a vegetable, something that comes from the ground, you make the bracha of Barei Pri Ha'adama. When it comes to a drink, a cup of water, a cup of soda, these sort of simple things, we know Shehakol Nehyeh B'Dvaro. And when it comes to very clear bread, which we'll just define bread for our purposes as flour and water mixed together. So we know that you'd make hamotzi. But there are all these other creative things that we as the human race have come up with. And the question is, what bracha do you make on something when it seems to have attributes of many different things, right? So for example, another possible question is, what bracha should a person make on a cherry pie, right? So you have a delicious cherry pie with like a puff pastry top. And so the puff pastry, it's kind of has similar properties to bread itself. So maybe you should make a hamotzi on a cherry pie, right? But at the same time, it's cherry pie. We know we make mazonos on cherry pie. So where does that come from? How do we understand the source of all of this? So this whole conversation begins in source number one. It's a Gemara in Brachos in which our rabbis are engaged in this very question. So take a look inside. The Gemara also relates that Rabbi Yehuda was engaged in preparations for his son's weddings, right? That's when all the great questions happen when you're planning a wedding. And at the house of Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva, when they brought bread that comes as dessert before them, right? So a cherry pie. They had some delicious maybe danishes, maybe some sort of puff pastry dessert. So when it arrived, he heard them reciting the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. So that's odd. They were eating their dessert. They were eating their cherry pie, and he was making a hamotzi on it. And he said to them, what is this tzitzi sound that I hear? He's making fun of him. He said, I hear birds chirping. I hear stupid people saying stupid things. Well, why is anyone making a hamotzi on this? He says, perhaps, could it be that someone is saying the blessing of hamotzi on cherry pie or on some sort of a puff pastry dessert? They said to him, yes, indeed, as it was taught in a braisa. Rabbi Mona said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, over bread that comes as dessert, one recites the blessing of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. And Shmuel said that the halacha follows this opinion. So if we were to stop right here, we would have the assumption and understanding that when a person has their delicious cake or a person has any sort of a dessert that we would automatically nowadays define as a mezonos type of dessert, based on this Gemara, we would say that we've been doing it wrong this whole time, and actually we should say Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. But, says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda said to them, you are mistaken. Actually, it was said that the halacha is not in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Mona. So Rabbi Mona has this opinion that you would make hamotzi on things like a dessert, but at the end of the day, we conclude that we do not follow that opinion. The question is, where does this come from, and how do we understand it? And so I brought for you the Shulchan Aruch, because there are a lot of sort of intricacies in this topic, and so I thought we would go straight to the halachic source and see what the Shulchan Aruch says. So if you take a look at source number two, the Shulchan Aruch, what he does now is he's going to essentially explain the type of food that we're talking about, and he's going to define it a little bit. So he says, follows in source number two, Pas haba bekisnin, one blesses on it the bracha of Borei Minei Mizonot. And afterwards, the three-part bracha, right? That would be known as the Al HaMechia. So that's the typical bracha that you make on Pas haba bekisnin. And he says, if one ate a quantity that others would usually use to establish a meal, even if he wasn't satisfied by it, so one would make the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, and he would bench with the regular grace after meals, right? So it's a little bit confusing, but in a nutshell, what did he just say? Right, so if you eat enough that normally for a person would be considered a meal, then you would make hamotzi and you would bench afterwards. All right, so how do we define that? What's a normal, how do you define a normal meal?
Greater than an
hour. No, so not this time. Any other time, Jim, you'd be right. But this time, it's not so clear. So for example, let me ask you a question. If you were in college, how much pizza? So I was talking about pizza. How much pizza could the average college guy eat?
How many pizzas?
Okay, good. How many pizzas? A good college guy or a good high school guy can eat a good pie, two pies. The sky is the limit, right? How many pizzas could a perhaps a slightly frailer, older individual eat? Maybe a couple of slices, one slice. I remember when, my wife's grandparents, they live in Riverdale, and we used to bring over, when we would see them every now and again, we would bring some bagels over from this bagel place by us. And they looked like average sandwiches to us, but I remember her grandparents, whenever they would take a bite of the bagel, they would, oh my goodness, this bagel is enormous. This is going to feed us for a day or two. And so they would eat the first half of the sandwich, and they put the other half away for a treat, maybe tomorrow or 2 days from then, because it was just so much, right? So again, this notion of having an objective level of what is considered a normal amount is not easy, because the objections, the objectivity rather, of it changes depending on various groups of people, various ages, and so we'll have to see what this means, the average person. And then says the Shulchan Aruch further, if in the beginning his intention was to eat just a little, and he made the bracha of Borei Minei Mizonot, and then he ended up eating a lot, which would be considered a meal amount, so then he should bench afterwards, right? So even though you started your small snack with a mizonos, if you realize you had tons of this food afterwards, that everyone would agree with that it should be a meal, so then afterwards you still would go ahead and bench. And if he ate a quantity that others don't establish a meal upon, even though he is establishing a meal upon it, still he would say mizonot, right? So again, this it's all about what the objective definition of a meal is, and not at all what the subjective meal is. But the problem is, so what is an objective meal? So we'll have to get to that in just a moment. So now, we understand that there's something called pasaba bekisnin. We don't have not defined it yet, but we know that there is this category that our rabbis tell us that we make mizonos if it's not a meal. And if we do consider it a meal, then we're going to make a hamotzi. So it's sort of somewhere between bread and a cookie, right? A cookie, we seemingly all would agree you make a mizonos. On a piece of regular bread, you would agree that you make a hamotzi. But this pas haba'a bekisnin, so this is going to be something that sometimes you'll make a mizonos and sometimes you will make a hamotzi. So how do we go about defining this? Anyone want to take a guess? How would we define this in-between category? What would be a good example of a food in this in between category, and why? So let's break down the words for a moment. So pas is the Aramaic word for bread. Haba'a means that it's like formed into or it comes into. And kisnin, there are those that explain that kiss is the Hebrew word for pocket. So it's like a little little pocket, something inside the pocket, pita bread or a little puff pastry, something that fits in the little pocket that's kind of like bread. So that's this pas haba'a bekisnin. So there are essentially three different perspectives that are shared as to how we actually define this idea of pas haba'a bekisnin. The first is Rabbeinu Chananel, as he's quoted in Rabbeinu Yonah in source number 3. So take a look inside. We'll translate the Hebrew. Rabbeinu Chananel Zelashano de pas haba bekisnin ratzon lomar haba bekisnin she'osin min ha'isa kemo kis. It says, if you make the bread into a pocket, umachnisin, and inside this pocket you put bifnim shkedim bedvash umine matika, right? So you make this little pocket out of your dough, and you put some nuts in it, you put some honey in it, you put all these very sweet little delectable delights, and all of a sudden it becomes a quasi bread, but it's more like a sweet bread, not a honey cake. That's right, you could theoretically define it like that, but it's not. It's some sort of a bread that is very, very sweet, right? So just with that alone, how might we get into trouble with this, if this is how we define this pas haba'a bekisnin? So what might we, what practical ramifications might this have for us?
Very high sugar.
Very high sugar, that's true. Right, so the big question, and this was an enormous question years ago when it first came out, is what sort of challah do we have to use on Shabbos for our hamotzi? Right? If you want to say that you have your water challah, right? Just water and flour. Okay, so everyone agrees you make hamotzi on that. But what if your challah is like a babka? Right? You have some chocolate chips in it, or you have some honey in it, right? So, and that's how we like challah nowadays. We like it to be extra sweet. So what bracha do you make on that? Can you actually be koveya su'uda? Can you have at your Shabbos meal a challah like that, when it really it's somewhere between a cake, or closer to a cake than it is a loaf of challah? And according to this idea...
Again,
yet it matters what you are.
Okay, good, good. So it does matter what you are. And even so, it might not actually fully matter what you are, because even Sfardim, some might make hamotzi on it, but we'll get there towards the end. Okay, so with that said, this is one definition. You make a little pocket out of bread, and you put some nuts or you put some honey in it, then it becomes pas haba'a bekisnin. Now, take a look at source number 4. The Rambam is the one who gives it the most extensive of definitions. Take a look inside. Before partaking of dough baked over the ground, as it's baked by the Arabs living in the desert, one should recite the blessing of Borei Minei Mezonot, because it does not have the appearance of bread. If, however, one uses it as the basis of a meal, one should recite the blessing Hamotzi, right? So we know that he's talking about this food category that we are talking about. And he says that similar laws apply to dough that was kneaded, so now this is his definition, with honey, with oil, or milk, or mixed together with different condiments and baked, right? So he says that if you take dough and you add into it, forget about this pocket business, doesn't need to be a pocket. You're in the mixing bowl, and you have your flour, you have your water, but then you throw in some other things. You throw in some honey, you throw in some oil, you throw in some
apple juice,
you throw in some eggs. Put a few eggs into your challah, you make egg challah, right? So at that point, according to the Rambam, this becomes pas haba'a b'kisnin, and according to him, you would not make a hamotzi on it all the time. Sometimes you would if you established a meal over it, but sometimes you would not. Finally, that was the second, yeah?
Would he be making a distinction when he says if you knead it in, kneading it in versus
sprinkling on top?
So
theoretically, dropping in is kneading in, right?
Kneading it is where you actually physically mix it with your hand.
Ray, I don't bake very much. But I think if you drop the chocolate chips in and then you mix it, that's kneading. No, so but you're saying if you just have it and ready to go to bake in the pan, and you sprinkle a little sugar on top, but otherwise it was water and flour.
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay, so that's a good question. So okay, so the odds are, we'll assume for now that probably is not what we're talking about. It does have to be mixed in some way, shape, or form. Okay, so with that said, so that's the second definition of this pas haba'a b'kisnin. The final definition is quoted in the name of Rav Hai Gaon, one of the Gaonim, right? So the Gaonim came before the Rishonim. The Rishonim were the medieval commentators, and so now we're talking about the commentators who were in between the times of the Gemara and in between the Middle Ages. So figure like the 900s or approximately around that time. So Rav Hai Gaon says that you want to know what pas haba'a b'kisnin is. It's very simple. It's any sort of a bread that's crunchy or crackery, right? We know what bread is. Bread is the soft, smushy, yummy stuff. Whenever you get into the crackery kind of a stuff, that's not real bread. And so, therefore, what is this obviously referring to, at least at the outset? What sort of bread do we know is crackery? Crunchy?
Matzah.
Right? So, according to Rav Hai Gaon, so what bracha would you make on matzah? Right? So, as long as you're not establishing a meal over it, but you're having a snack, you'd make a mezonos. Let's say we wanted to have a snack right now, as Ashkenazim, and we would take some matzah. What bracha would we make on this? On matzah? Hamotzi, right? So good. So we clearly don't follow this, but the question is why. So just to quickly summarize where we're at right now, we know that there's something called pas haba'a b'kisnin, and this category sort of creates this large dispute as to what bracha you should make on it, and we define this in three different ways. One perspective tells us that you have to have a little pocket of bread, and then you put some nice, yummy, delicious treats in it. That's one definition. Another definition tells us that it's just dough with other sweet, delicious things mixed into it, like apple juice or oil or honey or the like. And finally, there is this much simpler definition. And I say simpler because you can probably see it without even tasting the bread. You can see it that it looks crunchy or something of the like. And so this third category is that it's a crackery, crunchy sort of a matzah kind of bread. So The question is, which of these opinions do we follow? If whoever we follow, we're going to say that according to that person, we would make a mezonos on this food group, unless we were to establish a meal, and then we would still make a hamotzi, but as a starting point, we would make a mezonos. Okay, good. A little confusing, but good so far? More or less? Maybe? No? Okay, maybe not. All right, well, if you have any questions after, ask me. So if you take a look at source number 5, the Shulchan Aruch does something which for his purposes, it makes it a little easier on him, but for our purposes, it makes it a little more difficult, and that is, he says that who do we follow? Which definition of these three categories do we follow? All of them. All of these different types of foods will go into the category of pas haba bekisnin. Take a look inside source number 5. Pas haba bekisnin, some interpret it as bread that is made with a sort of pockets that one fills with honey or sugar and nuts and walnuts and spices. Some say that it is a dough that has honey, oil, milk, or spices kneaded in and then baked. As long as the taste of the mixture of fruit juice or spices is noticeable in the dough, skip the bold for just a second, some interpret it that it is bread, whether spiced or not, which is made into dry cakes, and one cracks them, and they are called, whatever, what they called them in his town. The halacha is according to all of them, such that for all of these items, we apply the rules that we have enumerated for pas haba bekisnin. So the Shulchan Aruch follows all of these opinions. So if you are a Sephardic individual, then for any of these foods, as we have defined them thus far, you would make a mezonos on them unless you establish a meal over it. So therefore, if you are a Sephardi individual, you want to have a piece of matzah as a snack, you make a mezonos. If you're an Ashkenazi person, you want to have a matzah, you make hamotzi. What about pizza? Your guess is as good as mine. We have not even come close to broaching that. Well, we've come close, but we're not entirely there just yet. So if you take now a look in source number 5 at the bolded, we have the opinion of the Ramah, the Ashkenaz perspective over here. He says as follows, and some say that this is unequivocal bread unless there is a lot of spices and honey, like the sweet pastry that is called lekach, in which the honey and spices are the main part, and this is our custom. Right, so what is he saying over here? How would you define, how do Ashkenazim define this category? Yeah, good. Okay, right. So a Danish, we would all agree, is definitely mezonos, because that's like, it's like 95% sugar. So 95% honey or whatever. So everyone would agree that that's mezonos. Yeah, Ray, what were you gonna say?
He's defining it by the descendant.
Good. Right, so according to the Ashkenaz perspective, he sort of takes away all this overcomplications of this opinion and that opinion. He says, just look at the dough. If the dough has lots of sugar and lots of other treats in it, it's not bread. It's a cookie. It's a cake. It's a whatever. You make a mezonos. But otherwise, you have to assume that if there is dough in there, then it's probably going to be considered bread. So what would that mean for us Ashkenazim? Hamotzi on like a lot of different things, right? That basically, if you're an Ashkenaz person, unless there's like 65% sugar or honey or whatever, short of that, then you will probably make a hamotzi on most things that.
Soft pretzel.
Oh, soft pretzel, right? So what bracha do you make on a soft pretzel?
I learned mezonos.
Oh, yeah. So not clear, right? Or and a deli roll. What about a deli roll? What's a deli roll? Okay, deli, we define it. Deli roll is puff pastry with deli, and you roll it up, and you cook it. It's delicious. What bracha do you make on it, though? But it's not delicious if you can't figure out the bracha, though.
Well, if you're going to go stripping by the dough, you're probably saying
mostly. Oh, okay, right. That's what you seem, right? Because the puff pastry, it's mostly water and flour, a few extra other things, but the percentage by far is that it's a pretty plain-tasting dough, and so therefore you'd have to assume you make a hamotzi on deli roll. What about pigs in a blanket? All right, what about hot dogs in a, sorry, hot dogs in a blanket? Same thing?
It would be the same thing, right. The dough is just dough.
Right, so that's what you'd think. Okay, good.
That's like an incredible diet, because you never
Okay, so. It's not that we ignore the other ingredients. It's just that if you're an Ashkenaz person, the way we define it is that we just need to see what the percentages are, like Ray explained. So if you have just a ton of sweeteners, honey or whatever, in there, then we're going to look at it primarily as a sweet dessert type of dish, which by definition makes it mizonos. If, however, it's just like a little bit of a sprinkle of something, then okay, it's just bread, but it's a little taste.
I would think that jelly roll is a good fraction meat.
Oh, okay, right. So fair enough. It's a good fraction meat. But you know what else is a good fraction meat? A meat sandwich.
Yeah.
And what bracha do you make on a meat sandwich? A deli sandwich? Hamotzi. So why is the deli roll different than a meat sandwich?
Or one you would wash on.
Or maybe both you would wash on.
Use a deli roll for your lunch. That's your meal.
True.
Okay, good. So this is sort of the tension that the poskim deal with. And so this is what we're going to have to try to understand as we begin to get more practical now. So with all of this said, the one thing that we have yet to define is the notion of objectivity. How do we define when there is this college guy versus the frail older individual, right? The college guy who could eat 10 pies of pizza and the older individual who could maybe only one full pie of pizza perhaps, right? So how do we understand this? So says the Bir Halacha in source number 6 that you have to understand that we'll take a look in the Hebrew. We'll translate: Hu das harash shecholik al harayvid sheledidei afilu b'muat sagi kivan hu kovea al ze baser didei azlinan umikol makom. He explains here. Here's the important part. Nira barur. He says it's clear. De'imhu zakein, if we're talking about an older individual, o na'ar, or we're talking about a younger person, she'achilasan mu'at beteva, that naturally one eats more than the other, chayavin behamotzi, right? So if we're talking about an older individual who objectively usually eats a little bit less than the young guy in college, so that person, they have their own objective category, right? So there's not one objective statement for the human race. Here is a meal and here is a snack. It's that whatever group you are in, and okay, you can identify whichever group you consider, right? So if you consider yourself, you're young at heart, and instead of being, I'm not gonna dare guess what an old age is. If you are perhaps an objectively older age, you identify as a 25-year-old person and you could eat like that, so perhaps you fit into that category. So whatever category you're a part of, that's whatever the rules would apply. So again, you're older, but you can eat like a college person, and you're a college person. Younger, but you can't eat more than like a slice of pizza, okay, then you're maybe in the older person category. Okay. Right, so if you're going to fill up over it, that means that it's going to be like a meal. And so if it's like a meal, then it would be hamotzi. Yeah, that's the general rule. It does get complicated, which is why hopefully when we talk about the practical examples, it'll become a little bit more clear. Okay, really just a critical category to be aware of is the, again, far be it from me, whatever, maybe there are no differences when it comes to genders in this regard, but usually the stereotype is that men eat more than women on average. And so again, maybe there is an objective amount for a man to consider a meal and an objective amount for a woman to consider a meal. That's what some of the poskim suggest as well. Okay, so with all of this said, what we have not really dealt with is the pre-deli roll conversation, and that is that as far as the Gemara, as far as the Shulchan Aruch, and all of the sources that we've dealt with so far, we're basically talking about making some sort of a pastry, right? Something with sweet ingredients, something with nuts or whatever, something in that category. What we have not really spoken about is, let's say you have puff pastry, and inside of that puff pastry you have some meat mixed in, right? Like a deli roll. Or like you have a... What's another good example?
Pies.
Sorry?
Pots,
Okay, good, like a chicken pot pie or something like that, right? So these foods that have bread in them or bread properties in them, but they're also, and by themselves, if you would like sort of scrape, let's say, the top of the chicken pot pie off, that's not a meal. But because it's cooked together with the delicious chicken inside or whatever it might be, so then it becomes a meal. So what is the status of the crust of the chicken pot pie? And so there is a major dispute, as we can understand and explain at this point, as to how we determine the food in this case. Everyone agrees that take a look inside in source number 7. Rabbi Jachter, who is a rabbi who we've quoted a lot in various different classes, he is a wonderful rabbi and a prolific writer who lives in New Jersey, in Teaneck, and he says as follows. Interestingly, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky argues that this rule does not apply if the pas haba'a bekisnin is consumed only as dessert. Right, so here we now have a good general sweeping principle for ourselves. If you are going to consume this item as a dessert, the cherry pie, for example, even though there's puff pastry, even though whatever, if it's a dessert, then by definition, it can never be considered this pas haba'a bekisnin, and it will always be a mezonos on this cherry pie. So, for example, if one eats potato pie or crackers along with the main course, he must wash and recite hamotzi and birkas hamazon, but if he eats a full meal and then he has cake for dessert, he is not required to recite hamotzi and birkat hamazon. Right? So essentially what he's saying is that anything that has mezonos properties, like a cracker or the like, if you have enough crackers and you eat that with a lot of meat, then you might have to make a hamotzi on that. But if you eat a nice amount of crackers and with that you have fruit and things like that and chocolate or whatever, that you would never have to make a hamotzi on, because by definition, dessert is never going to be considered a meal. Yes? Like what? What would you have as an appetizer? Okay, good. So a bereka is a really good question, right? So a bereka, that's the appetizer. So there's enough literature out there written about how do we define these other parts of a meal. Like, what do our rabbis say about the appetizer and the first course, second course? So it seems like that at the end of the day, we basically have two courses. There's like the meal, and then there is the dessert. So if it's an appetizer, it's part of the meal. And so therefore you can make any sort of determinations with that. But if it's the desserts, then that's the only other category that we'll have. So a potato bereka, you get into a complicated question. If a potato bereka if you have enough potato berekas that everyone would agree would be considered a meal, which again, it's not entirely clear. Sometimes it gets more subjective and there is not always an understood objective rule here. But if you have 45 potato berekas, you absolutely would make hamotzi on that. Everyone would agree. So it's important, first of all, not to overeat, but second of all, to be aware of sort of what the standards are. And again, it's not always so clear. Okay, so let's keep going. Let's finish up this source. So he says then, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach similarly suggests that only when the pas haba'a bekisnin is consumed together with meat or fish, does the meat or fish combine with the pas haba'a bekisnin to establish a meal. Right? So that's what we just said. If it's a part of the meal, then obviously you make a hamotzi, but if it's not, if it's dessert, you wouldn't. Rav Moshe Feinstein, though, rules that even cake eaten for dessert combines with the rest of the meal to establish, to be koveya a se'uda, and thereby require one to recite hamotzi and birkat hamazon. Right? So to say this in English, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, if you have a couple of nibbles of your chicken, and then for dessert, you eat the whole cake, you probably would make a hamotzi on that cake. Because of the fact that at this point it's become a real full meal. And if it's a full meal, even though it's a dessert, according to Rav Moshe, he says the it's still flour, it's still water, and it has enough bread properties that you've eaten so much of it, you've established a meal, so you should make a hamotzi, you should bench in that situation. Unbelievable. Most people are not aware of this. Let's say you have like, again, this depends on the person, but let's say you have like a three boxes of pasta. What bracha do you make on three boxes of pasta?
Pasta should be considered mezonos, isn't
Yeah, that's right. By itself, pasta would be considered mizono, so you have a normal serving. You eat three boxes of pasta, first of all, see a doctor. Second of all, after the doctor, you have to bench because you had enough flour and water, enough of these mizonos categories that you've established a meal over it, and you have to therefore say the grace after meals, you have to bench. Okay, with all of this said, let's talk about some practical examples now. So the first and the most important one is before we get there, one final point, and then we'll talk about the practicals. And in another piece by Rabbi Jachter, in source number 8, or it actually might be part of the same piece, he does something, he mentions an idea that I think is critical to understand moving forward, and he says as follows. An analysis of the Pasaba Abikisnin rule might help us understand the following ruling. Rav Meir Lichtenstein told me that his grandfather, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, believes that fundamentally the bracha of Hamotzi is not a bracha on bread, rather it is a bracha recited upon a meal. Right, so this is important for us to understand. Because if you assume that the Hamotzi blessing is something that is only said on bread, then everything we've said so far is very confusing. It doesn't make any sense. If I have a lot of pasta, why should I make a hamotzi? Why should I bench on that? If, however, we say that the hamotzi blessing and benching, that these are things that we say over anything defined as a meal, regardless of whether or not it is technically bread, then that fundamentally changes our perspective and should therefore determine when we may or may not end up using these specific blessings. Okay, so with all of that said, let's now talk about some of the specific examples. So our challah nowadays, right, the average person, I have no idea how Malik's, anyone know how Malik's makes their challah? What does Malik's put in their challah?
They no longer do
water chal. So where does the Sfarim, what is it? Rabbi Mamon, he certifies it, but he can't even eat their chal. All right, so you get egg chal at egg chal or water chal?
Water
chal. Oh, okay, fine. So you have to shop there if you're smart. Okay, so when
it does the water chal.
So it does do water chal?
Yeah, so it's okay. Out there.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Okay, thank you, Barbara. When it comes to water challah, everyone agrees that's hamotzi. It's flour, water, very simple. But when it comes to more complicated challahs, which include more sweet foods and honey and the like, so there is a very clear dispute between Ashkenazim and Sfardim. You remember that the Shulchan Aruch, he paskened way back ago in an earlier source, that we follow all of those different opinions in terms of defining this odd category of pasuk. What that essentially ends up meaning, therefore, is that virtually anything that is not black and white bread, which means any type of bread that does not include, any type of bread that includes more than just water and flour, for a Svardi individual will always be considered mizonos on average. And therefore, it gets a little complicated when we're talking about the challah for the meal, because remember what we said, if you establish a meal on it, everyone says you make a hamotzi. Nonetheless, the typical custom among Svardim is that they will only usually use water challah for their hamotzi on Shabbos because of the fact that everyone agrees that that's considered a meal. So if you're ever hosting a Svardi person, you should be cognizant of the fact that ideally you should have at least one water challah for them when you make the hamotzi. Us, however, we assume that if it walks like challah, if it talks like challah, even if it's a babka, it's challah. And so therefore, it could be the sweetest, most delicious challah in the world. And if it's challah, it's challah. So you make a hamotzi and Ashkenazim. This is the one area where Ashkenazim are going to be doing better than Sfardim. Every other category, Sfardim win this, but Ashkenazim win in this one category. Okay, so a few other specific examples. So mizonos rolls. People know what mizonos rolls are? Anyone have heard of it? So good. Okay, so I have a picture of it in right? Do I have a picture here? No? Yeah, last page. So go to the last page in your sources. Second to last page. Ah, mizonos rolls. So maybe this is only a thing in the five towns. But they also sell it. If you ever, anyone here ever flown on a plane where they served a kosher meal? Yeah, okay. So usually they'll have in the kosher meals, they'll have these mezonos rolls also.
Rabbi, you're mute.
I'm muted?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I goofed. I clicked the wrong
button. We good now?
You good now.
What are you trying to say, yeah. Maurice?
No.
You're trying to...
No, no, but I'm on the other mic.
This is a very complicated thing over here. Okay, all right. So on most kosher meals on planes, when they have the rolls, usually next time you go on a plane and you're served the kosher meal, look at the roll. It'll usually say Mizonos roll on it. And the reason why they do that is very simple. Because it's you're going to have a whole plane of Jews all going to try to fit in that little bathroom to wash on a roll. Crazy, and people do. It would be crazy. So they say, let's get out of this and let's make Mizonos rolls. What's the number one problem with a Mizonos roll, if you've been paying attention and understood even a little bit of what I've said?
It's basically bread in terms of its composition.
It's bread in terms of its composition, but give me a little bit more than that. What are you doing when you're having your airplane meal? What are you doing?
You're eating a meal.
You're eating a meal. So if you're eating a meal, what does that mean? You make a hamotzi on it. So do you make a Mizonos on a Mizonos roll or not? So most poskim say that the notion of a mizonos roll, a roll that looks like bread, talks like bread, for all intents and purposes, is bread. It's a self-contradiction. There's no such thing as a mizonos roll. You can call it whatever you want, but it's still going to be hamotzi bread. Even the mizonos bread will be hamotzi bread. And sorry? You have to wash, right? So what basically you have is the people who unfortunately don't know any better, they open up their package. Oh, it says Mizonos, beautiful. So they say Mizonos. But then you have like the yeshiva guys who maybe know a little bit better, maybe, usually not, but sometimes they know. And so they're going to give everyone the dirty looks, the people who don't know enough, and they're going to go wash. Maybe it's not a good example. Okay, but right. So at the end of the day, one should be washing on this Mizonos bread, and you should make a hamotzi on it. And if you take a look in source number 9, the Chaf K, one of the major national kashrus organizations, has a lot to say about this. We'll read through it. Let's just skip to the bolded parts. So again, source number 9. There is an opinion that of the Da'as Torah, who maintains that if a mixture has mostly fruit juice, then one does not need to taste it in the mixture. And so therefore, according to this one opinion, before we go any further, his opinion essentially is going to say as follows. Let's say you have a roll that's 95% made with apple juice, 5% water, and then flour. So that's an incredible amount of juice. And right, we can figure out the ingredients in such a way that it could still taste like a basically like a roll, maybe a little bit different. And so according to this opinion, though, if you have that much apple juice and that much juice in your mixture of bread, then no one would ever say that it could be a hamotzi. Everyone, according to this perspective, would say that it has to be Mizonos. So that is the single opinion that the Mizonos roll people rely on. Take a look at the end of the source in the bolded. In conclusion, the practice of giving out Mizonos rolls on airplanes and at simchas is misleading and improper. Mizonos rolls are an oxymoron, since Mizonos and rolls cannot coexist. This is even if it says on the wrapper that the bracha is Mizonos. Fortunate are those hechsherim, right, those certifying agencies, which do not allow bakeries to make Mizonos rolls. Many people think that a Mizonos roll is a loophole to avoid washing one's hands and benching. However, in reality, this is not the halacha, and one must wash and bench, right? So essentially, you could see how they feel about this. And it's controversial and very complicated. And so if you ever find yourself on a plane and you get your Mizonos roll, it's recommended that you do wash, or you could do the easy thing, and that is just don't eat it, and then everyone's going to be happy. Or even better, you take out your actual, maybe take out your pizza, and then maybe you wash your pizza. All right, we'll get there in a second.
It says very clearly on the packaging, which this does, I know, it says Mizonos.
Yeah, so it's that, right?
Well,
you're in agreement with most of the other rabbis who disagree with this guy. Right, so because again, remember, a rabbi did not make this package. A really good graphic designer, I think this is Zamix, nothing against Zamix, but a really nice graphic designer in the Zamix family. I'm actually related to Zamix, so far be it from me to not to, although Zamek's is no longer owned by the Zamek family, so maybe I could say bad things about them. All right, whatever it is, so this was not made by a rabbi. This was made by a graphic designer, and so therefore, again, they can call it whatever they want. I can come out tomorrow with my own line of Mizonos bread, and I can call it Shahakol bread. Is it going to be a Shahakol? Could you make a Shahakol on it? That's crazy. Who would say such a thing? Right? So the same thing with Mizonos bread. You could write whatever you want on the package. What the Chaf Kei was saying over there, and one of the issues that they took with this, was the kashrus organizations that continued to give certification to bread when the package said such a thing. And so I don't want to make any assumptions. I'm not sure. I think, whatever. It's not important. Whatever. I mean, these were major certifications that Zamix and other organizations had. But nonetheless, many of the other kashrus organizations said that it's what we call lifnei iver. You're placing a stumbling block in front of someone. Right? It is technically kosher. And is it the kosher organization's responsibility to make sure that you say the correct bracha? That's the dispute. And so the Chaf Kei would never give a certification on something like this. But another certification would say, no, my job is to say if it's kosher, what the bracha is, let the guy ask his rabbi. Let the person ask their rabbi. And that's not what they want to be involved in. Okay, so that's Mizonos bread. A sandwich for a snack.
Yeah, you make a little sandwich for a snack. You just want a little something at 3 in the afternoon.
Okay, so I'm going to separate those two things because the notion of a sandwich as a snack in general is unclear
Butter and jelly, come on.
Peanut, I don't know, some people like peanut butter and jelly as a meal. My father-in-law loves peanut butter and jelly.
But I eat peanut butter and jelly as a snack.
Only as a snack?
Yeah.
You'll never eat it as a meal? Sounds very good, actually. And what time in the afternoon?
Three.
And then when do you have dinner?
Six.
Wow.
I have lunch at 12. Yeah.
What did you have for lunch that day?
Just in case.
Okay. Well, so if it was. Let's talk about the more complicated question. If it was a let's talk about the easier one first. If it's a sandwich with this, I still would argue that objectively, more often than not, a sandwich is considered a meal, so you probably would still make a hamotzi. The question is, let's say a person was, they're just going for a walk, and they said, oh, let me just grab a quick snack, and they took the Mizonos roll, and they're just nibbling on the roll, like on the road. So that's a little more complicated. You might say that it's a Mizonos in that circumstance, but sort of a case-by-case basis. But certainly a sandwich, I would say, even if you consider it a snack, objectively, usually a sandwich is considered a meal type of food. Okay, so with all of this said, now we understand that our challah we make hamotzi on, but svardim make a mizonos usually. When it comes to mizonos bread, you probably should always make a hamotzi on it. What about deli roll? What about pigs in a blanket or franks in a blanket, if that makes you more comfortable for me to say it like that? So it's getting late, so let's do this outside of the sources. So the Shulchan Aruch brings down that this idea that if you do mix meat into your puff pastry or into your bread, into your dough, then all of a sudden it becomes a much clearer meal than if you would just have the bread itself. And so the Mishnah Brura says, right, so people think that pigs in a blanket is a modern thing. No, pigs in a blanket goes back a long time, at least in the times of the Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura was the beginning of the 20th century. Anyone know how far back pigs in a blanket go? But are pigs in a blanket the same thing as a meat pie? No.
Well,
who named it? There's definitely a history of why it's called pigs in a blanket.
That I don't know.
Okay, next time you'll tell me.
But it's definitely meat.
Right, probably, I assume. Right. Okay, fine. So, well, whatever it is. So the Mishnah Berurah talks about pigs in a blanket, and he says that, again, everything we've said thus far, what would you assume, what bracha would you make on pigs in a blanket? As a snack, let's say. It's a snack. It does look an awful lot like a hot dog in a bun, but it's a snack.
Up until your last comment about meat being combined with bread, you said Mizono, but if you take into account the fact that the opinion is that meat and bread together basically constitute a meal no matter what, then you would have to say hamotzi.
Okay, so that's what you would assume. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that pigs in a blanket are Mizonos. And so while it seems clear that whenever you have a meat mixed with a doughy substance, usually it's going to be hamotzi, the Mishnah Berurah tried to confuse the whole world a little bit further by saying that even though you think it should be hamotzi, actually this one is going to be considered mazonos. Probably, by the way, the reason why the Mishnah Berurah said this, you can only assume, for the same reason that, by the way, in our world, most people assume it's mazonos, is because when do people usually serve pigs in a blanket? An appetizer, hors d'oeuvres, you're like at the smorgasbord in the wedding, and the guy's walking around with, you know, you take one, you take this thing and that thing, you spit that thing out, you take the other, right? So it's just a small little snack, and so since it's just a little snack, so you make a mazonos. I will say that one of the reasons why I got a little annoyed earlier this year at the party that we had on Chol HaMoed was because people weren't just eating like three of them, people were eating like 20 of them. And if you eat 20 pigs in a blanket, I mean, I don't know how you can say that's not, if that's not a meal for you, then we could talk about other eating habits. But usually if you have 20, 25 pigs in a blanket, that's at least equivalent to two hot dogs in a bun. And so, again, those would in general be considered mazonos.
So,
what do you mean? It's dough. It's
not a bready dough.
It's, what's bready dough?
Yeah, it's lighter than that.
What makes it? But it's dough. It's remember there is an idea that if you have enough crackers, just crackers, if you eat enough of them, you would make a hamotzi on that.
And you make 200 pigs of what?
Yeah.
Do you take
challah? It's a good question. Maybe. Theoretically. Again, I don't know the... It's a good question. I don't know enough of the reality of... If you make the quantity of dough for the puff pastry of pigs in a blanket... And again, that quantity of dough is the amount that you would need to take challah from. Then yeah, sure.
So would you say
that's it's regular dough? No.
So the caterer at the wedding who makes a huge number of these things.
Yeah.
Is he going to be taking challah or she?
I don't know. Maybe depends who he asked or she asked.
Yeah,
theoretically, again, it's dough. I don't know, how different is this dough than a regular dough?
It's like a dinner roll kind of dough.
It's dough. Well, what's in the dough?
It's
yeast. It's flour. It's water, and some other stuff. But it's dough. Again, we could talk about the specifics of it further, but if you do have just a couple, according to the Mishnah Berurah, seemingly it would be a mazonos. But again, if you have a lot, it probably would be a hamotzi. Then there is the question of deli roll. So deli roll, most people would say that you would make a mazonos. However, I am loyal to my Rebbe, Rabbi Mordechai Willig in YU. I once asked him, Rebbe, what bracha do you make on deli roll? He says, Dov, what's deli roll? I said, what do you mean? Rebbe knows. Deli roll, you know. You have it every Shabbos. Right? What is deli roll? And so I said, I don't know. It's like meat in a puff piece. He said, it's a sandwich. It's the same exact thing as a sandwich. You have a bologna sandwich. You have a turkey sandwich. You have a deli roll sandwich because it's the bread and the meat. And so he said unequivocally, you make a hamotzi because, of course, it's a meal food. Now, could you make the argument that more often than not, after Shabbos, you looking at the leftovers, you take a little piece out. That's probably a snack. Rav Willig was not moved by such an argument in all likelihood, and he would say that if you take a little piece of bread out of the fridge with a little piece of meat on it, everyone would agree you make a hamotzi, and that's essentially exactly how he viewed deli roll. Okay, with all that said, we have one question left, and that is the source, that is the title of our class, and that is, what bracha do you make on pizza? So with everything we've said thus far, if you're still with me, what bracha do you make on pizza?
Mozi.
Why?
Because I eat it as a meal.
Oh, okay, good. How many slices do you have to eat to make a hamotzi on pizza?
I would say at least two.
You would say at least two. What if you have one slice?
And it doesn't fill you up. You're just raising.
Depends on the size of the slice.
Oh, an average slice.
Grab for lunch. You know?
Sorry?
I might have a quick lunch with one slice.
Uh-huh. So you say one slice for you would be a hamotzi still?
I think.
You think. Okay. Okay, so this became the source of a great dispute in, I think, the 70s, when Rav Moshe Feinstein, the great halachic decisor of the 20th century in America, He said, if you have one slice of pizza, what's pizza? Pizza is the same sort of in-doubt category. It's dough, but there's cheese, and it's not bread, but it's also not bread. So what is it? So he said that if you have one slice of pizza, everyone agrees that one slice of pizza is not a meal. The average person, right, every school that serves pizza for their hot lunches, usually the kid gets two slices. Or I don't know if that's true, but when I was a kid, I remember the average kid would get two slices. And so two slices is considered a meal. One slice is considered a snack. So Moshe said that one slice you make a mizonos, and two slices you make a hamotzi. More or less. You could figure that out hopefully yourself. Less than one slice, you still make mizonos. More than two, you make a hamotzi. Now, this obviously became very complicated because people are not really able to keep up with all these different math equations over here trying to decide what's what, and how does that actually make any sense? What do you mean? Either it's bread and I have to wash on it, or it's not bread and I don't have to wash on it. So people really struggled with this. And so as a result, the poskim came down to the in the following way. I believe that you ask the average rabbi, Ashkenaz or Sfard, in Israel, what to do, I think the average rabbi will tell you have to wash on even a small crumb of pizza. Even a small piece of pizza, you have to wash on it. In America, the problem is that most rabbis do not want to go up against Rav Moshe Feinstein, because he was the great halachic decisor in America in the 20th century. And so many rabbis will maybe not necessarily agree, but they won't outright disagree with Rav Moshe, with this one slice idea, because they don't think that they have the right to make such a disagreement. Nowadays, there are many rabbis in America who will tell you, and Rav Willig, my Rebbe, is of this opinion as well, and that is that at the end of the day, the average person, from his perspective, is going to be eating pizza, like Jim said, in a meal sort of a way. And therefore, by definition, the objective status of pizza is that it is a quote-unquote meal food, and therefore, he would say, even if, and he said this explicitly to me, even if you would have a crumb of pizza, it's no different than having a crumb of bread from your loaf of bread. You make a hamotzi on the crumb from the loaf of bread, and you make a hamotzi on the crumb of pizza from the hamotzi on the crumb of pizza from the small little slice of pizza that you have. And so therefore, ultimately what we find is that there is this sort of a dispute, but nonetheless it would seem that absolutely everyone would agree, even Rav Moshe probably, if you were establishing a meal on however many slices of pizza, you absolutely make a hamotzi. If it happens to be that you're on the run and you take a small little slice, and so you're just taking it as a snack, so Rav Moshe would say you can make a mizonos on that slice, but still many others would say a hamotzi. And if you want to know my personal opinion, I follow my Rabbam, Rav Willig, and so I would say that absolutely you should always make a hamotzi on pizza no matter what, because of the fact that at the end of the day, it by definition seems to fit into this category more of a meal food than just a snack food. I apologize if it was a little confusing, but that was, in a nutshell, the topic. So if you the takeaways, pizza, probably make hamotzi, mizonos rolls, hamotzi, basically make hamotzi on everything, except if you're Sephardi, you wouldn't make a hamotzi on the Ashkenaz challah, but everything else, it's hamotzi. With that, I wish everyone a beautiful night, and I'm happy to take any questions.